From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other sort of information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequencies shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Over 120,000 Indonesians returned from overseas amid COVID-19. Indonesia now upper middle income country, World Bank says. Now, the news in details. A total of 121,638 Indonesian nationals have returned from overseas between March 18 and July 1 this year due to the impact of various restriction policies implemented in wake of the novel coronavirus pandemic. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi at a virtual press conference from the Presidential's Palace in Jakarta on Thursday, escorted by Antara, said that there has been an additional 4,068 Indonesians returning to the country in the last week, or an increase of 3.5%. The majority of Indonesians returning home have arrived from Malaysia. The minister stressed that as part of the repatriation process, thousands of Indonesian returnees have undergone several health protocols in accordance with the World Health Organization standards, including a polymerase chain reaction PCR test and quarantine. Indonesia is now officially an upper-middle-income country, an upgrade from its previous status as lower-middle-income, according to the World Bank's latest country's classification by income level published on Wednesday, as quoted by Jakarta Post. The classification, which are updated annually on July 1st, are based on gross national income, or GNI, per capita. Southeast Asia's biggest economy saw its GNI per capita rise to $4,050 in 2019, surpassing the income threshold for upper middle income from $3,840 in 2018. Finance Ministry said in a statement on Thursday that this will strengthen the trust of investors and trading partners in Indonesia's economy. Indonesia has made progress in poverty reduction over the past 15 years, with the poverty rate dropping below 10%. The European Union has welcomed Indonesia's decision to provide a safe landing and humanitarian assistance to 99 Rohingya refugees stranded off the northern coast of Aceh last week. The European Union Foreign Affairs and Security Policy spokesperson Nabila Mashrali said in a statement on Thursday, escorted by Antara, that the rescue of Rohingya refugee who faced dire condition is a tribute to international law and proves the generosity of the people and government of Indonesia. In cooperation with Indonesian authorities, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, UNHCR, and other humanitarian organizations, the European Union will mobilize humanitarian support to address the most urgent basic needs of affected refugees. The European Union has said it hopes for the governments of Myanmar to create conditions that would allow the people of Rohingya ethnicity to return safely, sustainably, with dignity and in a voluntary manner to their place of origin. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. Tehran on Thursday reported an accident at Natanz nuclear complex in central Iran, saying that there were no casualties or radioactive pollution and warned foes, especially Israel, against hostile actions. The spokesman for Iran's Atomic Energy Organization, Behruz Kamalfandi, told state television that there was no nuclear material at the damaged warehouse and no potential of pollution. He added that no radioactive materials or personnel were present at the warehouse within the Natanz site in central Iran, one of the country's main uranium enrichment plants. Hours after the announcement, Iran's state news agency's IRNA published an editorial warning that if there are signs of hostile countries crossing Iran's red lines in any way, especially the Zionist regime of Israel and the United States, Iran's strategies to confront the new situation must be fundamentally reconsidered. After days of record spikes in new COVID-19 cases and hospitals warning they could run out of beds, President Donald Trump's White House on Thursday sought to convey that all was well in the battle against the coronavirus and efforts to get the U.S. economy moving again. Florida reported more than 10,000 new coronavirus cases on Thursday, the biggest one-day increase in the state since the pandemic started, according to a Reuters tally. The numbers of cases nationwide shot up by nearly 50,000 on Wednesday, the fourth record rise in infection in the last 7 days, following moves in many states to allow businesses to lift strict shutdowns aimed at containing the pandemic. On Thursday, Trump celebrated a report showing the economy created jobs at a record clip in June as more restaurant, bars, and retail businesses resume operation. An Australian white supremacist who murdered 51 Muslim worshippers in last year's New Zealand's mosque will be sentenced next month after delays caused by the coronavirus pandemic court documents revealed on Friday. Far-right extremist Brendan Tarrant was convicted in March of 51 murder charges, 40 of attempted murder, and one of terrorism after dropping his previous not guilty plea. At the time, New Zealand was in COVID-19 lockdown, meaning surviving victims and families of the slain could not attend court to see him sentenced. The South Pacific nation has since contained the virus, allowing social distancing rules to be suspended, which High Court Judge Cameron Mander said cleared the way for Tarrant to be sentenced on August 24. New Zealand does not have the death penalty, but Tarrant, a former gym instructor from the Australian country town of Grafton, faces the prospect of spending the rest of his life behind bars. Hundreds of elephants have died mysteriously in Botswana's famed Okavango Delta, the head of the wildlife department said on Thursday, ruling out poaching as the tusks were found intact. The landlocked southern African country has the world's largest elephant population, estimated to be around 130,000. Cyril Taolo, the acting director of the Department of Wildlife and National Parks, told AFP that there are reports of 356 dead elephants in the area north of the Okavango Delta. He said the cause of the death was yet to be established, with anthrax having. Samples have been collected and sent to South Africa, Zimbabwe, and Canada for testing. Listener, that was the news. I'm Niko Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's commentary is on Israeli annexation of the West Bank. Israel wants to control settlements in the occupied West Bank by claiming that the land belongs to it. The move was planned to be carried out early this July. Naturally, all parties who strongly opposed the annexation became nervous. The atmosphere of Palestinian internal politics was uneasy. Hamas, the hardline Palestinian movement, strongly opposes the Israeli plan. The Palestinian state itself hopes for support from various parties who reject the annexation plan. But the fact is, to this day, various rejections and negotiations carried out have not been able to cancel Israel's plan. At the Extraordinary Ministerial Conference of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, which took place virtually last June, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi specifically emphasized that the annexation plan in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic had doubled the pressure on Palestine. The annexation of the Palestinian his territories by Israel, both de facto and de jure, is unacceptable. The OIC also prepared steps to respond to this annexation plan. In the presence of OIC foreign ministers, Minister Retno Marsudi invited OIC member states to unite and mobilize the power to reject the annexation of the territory planned by Israel in three ways. First, if Israel continues to formalize annexation, the OIC member states that have diplomatic relations with Israel are asked to take diplomatic steps in accordance with various OIC resolutions. Second, OIC countries collectively garner international support to reject Israel's annexation in various international forums such as the UN General Assembly, the UN Security Council, and the Human Rights Council. Third, to encourage the continuing credible negotiations in accordance with internationally agreed parameters to achieve a two-state solution. Of course, all parties, including Indonesia as a consistent Palestinian supporter, hope that the diplomatic steps that have been taken can produce positive results. Well, that was commentary today on Israeli annexation of West Bank.
Welcome back to our regular segment of Today in History. Firstly, I'll begin with a history. On July 3, 1920, the establishment of Bandung Institute of Technology. On July 3, 1920, the Bandung Institute of Technology was established under the name Technische Hogeschool Te Bandung, or commonly abbreviated as TH Te Bandung. TH Te Bandung was the first technical college and the first higher education institution in the Dutch East Indies. TH Bandung was firstly opened with one faculty, the Faculty of Technical Science. Now we move to a story. On July 3, 1988, U.S. Navy battleships shoot down Iran Air Flight 655. The U.S. warship Vincennes shot down an Iranian passenger plane on July 3, 1988. The shooting was recognized by the U.S. as a mistake because its troops threw the Iranian Air Flight 655 was an Iranian fighter jet. Iran Air Flight 655 was a flight from Tehran to Dubai. The plane was shot down in the Persian Gulf by U.S. missiles fired by the USS Vincennes cruiser. The Iranian government until now claims USS Vincennes intentionally shot down the plane, while the United States expressed regret over the incident but has never officially claimed responsibility, paid compensation, or formally apologized to Iran up to this time. The accident killed all passengers and crew, totaling 290 people. We end with a history. On July 3, 2011, Yingluck Shinawatra becomes the first female prime minister of Thailand. General elections took place in Thailand on Sunday, July 3, 2011, on the royal decree to dissolve the House of Representatives. In the campaign, Yingluck called for a desire to carry out national reconciliation, poverty eradication, and corporate income tax reduction, even though these programs were derided by the Democratic Party. The Phu Thai Party won a landslide victory with 47% of votes, winning 265 of the 500 seats
under Thai Parliament. Yingluck Shinawatra became the first female prime minister in Thai history. That was Today in History.
Tatapanku terpaku padamu, tersipu malu, tak berani untuk menyapamu. Aku tahu kau mengarah padaku, dan kau katakan padaku kau merasa kan adanya sesuatu. Dan bolehkah aku inginku untuk mengenalmu? Ku tersenyum mengiyakan maumu, dan kau meminta tanganku. Sejak saat itu kau dan aku satu. Selamanya kau dan aku satu. Setiap kau ada di hadapanku, semua terlihat lebih indah. Jangan pernah kau tinggalkan aku, karena aku tak mampu tanpamu. Oh, I don't want to. Kau membuatku seakan lupa waktu, dan saatku berdua hanya bersamamu. Takkan mau melepasmu dariku, dan kau selamanya denganku. Oh, sejak saat itu kau dan aku satu. Selamanya kau dan aku satu. Oh, setiap kau ada di hadapanku, semua terlihat lebih indah. Jangan pernah kau tinggalkan aku, karena aku tak mampu tanpamu. Oh, I don't want to. Setiap saat kau di hadapanku, semua terlihat lebih indah. Jangan pernah kau tinggalkan aku, karena aku tak mampu tanpamu. Tinggalkan aku, karena aku tak mampu, tak mampu. Oh, I don't want to. Setiap saat kau di hadapanku, semua terlihat lebih indah. Jangan pernah kau tinggalkan aku, karena aku tak mampu, tak mampu.
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome to My Indonesia. Today's edition titled, The Ministry of Industry Opens the Opportunity for Small and Medium Industry Players in the Procurement of Government Goods and Services. The Ministry of Industry continues to encourage the small and medium industry SMI sector to participate as a provider in the procurement of government goods and services that is realized in the participation of the National Movement for Government Procurement expenditures for micro, small, and medium enterprises. This movement is a form of government concern for micro, small and medium enterprises sector, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic. Director General of Small, Medium and Various Industries, ICMA. The Ministry of Industry, Gati Wibawa Ningsih in Jakarta on Monday, June 29, said that the Government Goods Services Procurement Policy Agency has also developed an electronic procurement service system, LPSE, in order to increase transparency and speed direct procurement process. In this regard, the agency also provides technical guidance and facilitates SMEs to obtain an electronic procurement system, SPSE, account and ensures that they can input qualification data or profiles on the provider's performance information system, SICAP. Gati Wibawa Ningsih explained, the Ministry of Industry also registered procurement packages carried out until the end of 2020. With this movement, it can prioritize spending on the small and medium industry SMI products. Moreover, in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, this movement has become a good momentum in order to restore the SMI sector as the backbone of the national economy. Gati is optimistic. With the support of all elements of society, Indonesia will have many competitive SMEs in the national and global level. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
Kamu, cuma kamu yang mengisi mimpi. Kamu, kamu, cuma kamu, otakkan terganti. Kamu, kamu, cuma kamu, ku tak akan berpaling ke lain hati. Kau satu di setiap nafasku, kau satu-satunya upayaku untuk hidup baru. Tinggalkan semua gelapnya hidupku.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. For today's edition, I would like to introduce you Belacan Culinary from Nanggro, Aceh Darussalam. When you tour to Nanggro Aceh Darussalam province, please try its typical various culinary. One of them is belacan, a typical food of Aceh which has been inherited from generation to generation by every family in Aceh. Belacan is usually served in very special ceremonies such as wedding, circumcision, or Islamic holidays. However, many people also make it as their daily food dish at home. Belacan is made from several spices, which are available around the houses of the local people. The ingredients consist of grated coconut, chili, lemongrass, coriander, turmeric, garlic, and onion. Sometimes, to give more flavor, belacan is also added with salted fish. But in ancient times, some people also make belacan using shrimp paste, which is made from udang saba, or a kind of shrimp, and salted fish. Then belacan is wrapped in banana leaves with a small size, then is roasted on the stove. Belacan is usually eaten with rice and other side dishes. Listener, when eaten, belacan is tasteful and delicable, especially if it is eaten with hot rice. This food is very popular, especially in holy month of Ramadan, as iftar dish. During Ramadan, there are usually a lot of traders who sell this culinary in Banda Aceh and other regions in Aceh. The taste is delicious and suitable to eat with rice when breaking the fast. The price is relatively cheap, about 5,000 to 10,000 rupiah. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition entitled Belacan, a typical food from Aceh. We'll meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
I really need 'cause you're one major. Don't give up. You go away. know I got you, right? Let me be the one to hold your hand in the middle of the night. What? Be the one to guide you, I'ma treat you right. Your girl don't stop, you make me fly so high. Loving you is wrong, baby, I don't want your right side. Mamacita, you're my señorita. Every great king need a queen, so I need ya. No matter where you go, please take me with ya. Till the end of time, you're my only diva. One, two, three and two, the four. Do this one more time. Let's go.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. It's nice to meet you again in Miss Eleni. Today we are going to inform you that the FGUI team is the runner-up in the Club Global Student Challenge 2020 competition. So stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. The Sang Nenggala team from the Faculty of Engineering University of Indonesia, FGUI, achieved an achievement as the runner-up in the CLOB Global Student Challenge 2020 competition held in Sydney, Australia. For 3 months, the Sang Nenggala team competed against 51 teams from all over the world in prestigious competition, which has been held 7 times by the Chartered Institute of Building, CIOB. The Sang Nenggala team consists of 4 students of FTUI Civil Engineering Study Program. They are Agatha Vania Salim, Gabriel Reyes, M. Khairun Zohri and Dame Satria under the guidance of Mustika Sari, Civil Engineering Doctoral Program student. Of the 51 teams in the competition, 6 finalists from 5 different countries were selected. CIOBNB team are Chongqing University, China, George Brown College, Canada, Best Built or RMIT University, Australia, Skywalker Construction or Hong Kong Polytechnic University, Sang Nenggala or University of Indonesia, and Glasgow Construction Group or Glasgow Caledonian University, Scotland. In the finals held online, the Toronto DGC team from George Brown College, Canada finally won 1st place. In this competition, the teams competed by simulating their team as the board of directors of a virtual construction company by using the merit program or online game developed by Loughborough University. In the simulation, its team competed in making decisions at the staff level, making estimates and making bids in auctions, managing financial and capital flows, and looking for investment opportunities. That was our segment, Miss Lenny, for today. Thanks for listening.
Are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener. Listeners, in our regular segment Music Corner, we are going to present a song from West Sumatra entitled Mudiak Arau, to be sung by D+. The song Mudiak Arau, or famous with another name Sutan Mudo, was composed by Aji Sutan Sati. The song, which was popularized by Eric Kasim, tells about a woman in a long-distance relationship with a man. As we know, the majority of male in Minang will wander in a certain time. Uniquely, the love which makes the woman's heart blind still accepts the man's condition when going home. The woman does not care anymore with his condition, whether the man is rich or poor. She still accepts him gladly. Besides being in a pop genre, the song is also sung and rearranged by a musician from West Sumatra in some genres. One of them is pop rock. D+ Band, which consists of 5 youth of West Sumatra, rearranged the song well and contemporarily without eliminating the traditional elements through West Sumatra typical bamboo flute. Here is D+ with a song entitled Mudiak Arau. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
So
aku, karena aku tak mampu tanpamu. Oh, I don't want to. Kau membuatku seakan lupa waktu dan saatku. Berdua hanya bersamamu takkan mau melepasmu dariku dan kau selamanya denganku. Oh, sejak saat itu kau dan aku satu. Tinggalkan aku, karena aku tak mampu tanpamu. Oh, I don't want to. Setiap saat kau di hadapanku, semua terlihat lebih indah. Jangan pernah kau tinggalkan aku, karena aku tak mampu tanpamu. Tinggalkan aku, karena aku tak mampu, tak mampu. Oh, I don't want to. Setiap saat kau di hadapanku, semua terlihat lebih indah. Jangan pernah kau tinggalkan aku, karena aku tak mampu, tak mampu. Oh, I don't want to.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Now we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at voiindonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.